This is ESPN Radio.
Number three on deck here on Candy Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. More guests going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We still got Mina Kimes coming up in about a half hour, our ESPN NFL analyst. And Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic covers the Los Angeles Rams out there. Had a great inclination about the Odell Beckham Jr. signing last week, and hopefully we'll get some great information for her as we get ready to head into Monday Night Football, where he'll make his Rams debut. But before we do that, we get now our Monday Night Football preview, which is brought to you by Progressive. And to help us out with that, we got Tyler Foljam joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN betting analyst, one of the great co-hosts of the Daily Wager. You also hear him around here on ESPN Radio. And Tyler, before we get to anything on the field, the Manning cast on ESPN2 has announced its guest lineup tonight. We noticed that there are no active players on the roster for tonight here. Has the Manning cast curse become something that you can actually bet against comfortably in your position?
I mean, bettors aren't supposed to believe in curses, I don't think, but we know the Madden curse, the old SI cover jinx, and now the Manning cast curse. If I was an NFL player in already a tenuous sport where health is, you know, so fleeting at times because of the physicality of the game, I would stay away, you know. And one of these teams here, the Rams, just dealt with a massive, massive injury on Friday, a day after bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. So OBJ becomes more of a necessity than a luxury, but that's the name of the game in the NFL. So if I was a player, I'd probably decline a Manning cast a trip, because either bad injury luck is on the horizon or your team might take a big fat L that it probably wasn't supposed to.
Tyler, locking in on this matchup tonight between the Rams and the 49ers. The Rams are favored by 3.5 points. I feel like that's a sneaky line in a scary way. And then the over-under is set at 50.5. Which way do you see both of those when it comes to this particular game?
Yeah, I think the 3.5 is a little fishy, so to speak. When you look at this matchup, you think the Rams are, you know, the vastly superior team with superior talent. The line, though, has moved towards San Francisco. It was 4 earlier in the week. It's now down to 3.5. And a lot of the public is on the Rams side there. And usually we don't like to be aligned with the public. It really, though, under 4 seems like the Rams is the better value. When you look at San Francisco, they're a team that's 0-4 ATS at home this season. Sean McVay in his career is 16-6 straight up coming off of a loss. And they had that stinker last week in primetime against the Tennessee Titans. I imagine they're anxious to get back out there, especially in a division game, and get a victory. And then you look at what the Rams do best and how that matches up with maybe the biggest weakness of the San Francisco 49ers on both sides of the ball. You look at what the Rams do best. They're an explosive pass offense, leading the league in EPA per dropback. Matt Stafford's number one in total QBR. Matt Stafford's number one in EPA per dropback. That's expected points added. You know, kind of a very predictive measure of how successful each time you drop back to throw the football you are going to be. The Rams are number one in terms of that success rate there. And the weakness of this 49ers defense is in the back end. They have Fred Warner. They have Nick Bosa up front. They can rush the passer a little bit. They can stop the run, but their secondary's been awful. So even without Robert Woods, you have to contend with Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, sprinkle in a little Odell, Tyler Higbee. This is a team that's 22nd in the NFL in QBR allowed, going up against the guy who's number one, and Matt Stafford. Their big weakness has been giving up explosive pass plays. That's why their pass defense has sunk to the bottom third of the NFL. And that's what the Rams do best. They're an explosive pass offense. They're not dinking and dunking. They're ripping off chunks of, you know, 15, 20, 25 yards at a time with Stafford and those boys. So you look at the way they match up with the Rams offense against the Niners defense. And then on the other side, Jimmy Garoppolo is a pressure-sensitive quarterback. Well, what team leads the NFL in pressures this season and sacks? That's Aaron Donald and the LA Rams. And now they're adding Von Miller to that. So even though the line is fishy, even though it's moved towards the 49ers and the public is on the Rams, when you look at it from just an objective, logical view, there's hard to create paths outside of something, you know, and a 10% probability coming to fruition. It's hard to create paths for the Niners to keep this within 4 points. If it was at 4 or more, maybe I'd think about the Niners. But, you know, a 24-20 type of victory, a 27-23, logical types of scores, that's all you need to cash – as long as it's 3.5, if you're a Rams better. And I'm going to be back on the Rams here, I think, without my bias on, but logically, just looking at how these teams match up.
Canny and Golic Jr. talking to Tyler Foljam on the Goodyear Hotline. Tyler, you mentioned that Robert Woods injury came down almost immediately after they'd signed Odell Beckham Jr. Production-wise, we know Cooper Kupp's going to get his, but between Odell and the others, which receiver do you think is actually in line to receive the biggest bump in production, and who could people win on betting on that?
Yeah, that's Van Jefferson, the second-year wideout out of Florida. Jefferson is someone who's obviously been with the team now 2 years, and already before Robert Woods got hurt, Jefferson was averaging 48 yards per game. He was seeing 3 or 4 targets. Now, with Robert Woods out, that's 8 targets per game. That's 60 yards of receiving production that are gone and need to be soaked up by Cooper Kupp, by Van Jefferson, by Tyler Higbee, and, of course, the newest addition, Odell Beckham Jr. But Odell Beckham Jr., I believe, and you're going to talk to one of the best beat writers in the nation covering any sport, in Jordan Rodrigue. I think listening to her 11 Personnel podcast earlier today, I think she said that Matt Stafford was able to throw 2 live passes to Odell Beckham Jr. in practice over the weekend. So I think he'll be out there out of necessity. I just don't know if that chemistry will be there. The chemistry already exists with Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson. So Van Jefferson's receiving prop, last I checked, was 49.5 yards for a guy who was already averaging 48 per game. Now, with no Robert Woods in front of him, I think we can project him for something closer to 55 or 60 yards in this matchup, again, against a defense that hasn't been good covering wide receivers. So he's probably the most comfortable bet I would make in the Rams' receiving room. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is the best player, but his, you know, receiving prop, reception prop is 7.5. His yardage prop is 96.5. They're way up there for good reason. So I'll lean on Van Jefferson as the guy who provides the best value in terms of having a prop cash the over on the Rams receiving corps.
Tyler, looking at the other quarterback in this matchup, Jimmy Garoppolo, his over-under is set at 250.5 passing yards. Where's the value when it comes to betting that individual prop?
I'm going to lean under. I kind of think this game goes under the 50.5. I didn't mention that earlier, but with the Rams having to, you know, kind of scramble offensively and the Niners, you know, being an offense that can run into trouble if Garoppolo is not on his game, I think this is maybe a lower scoring game than that 50.5. And therefore, I'm thinking under with Jimmy Garoppolo's passing yardage total. Mike McGlinchey, one of their starting tackles, he's out now. So Trent Williams is on one side, and he's a big beast. But on the right side, McGlinchey is out. So I have to imagine Raheem Morris is going to be lining up Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald and Von Miller over McGlinchey as much as he can to try and put pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the most pressure-sensitive quarterbacks in the NFL. You have Jalen Ramsey who can try and erase either George Kittle in that star role or get on the outside, follow around Debo Samuel, who's number 2 in the NFL in receiving yards. So there's pieces, there's chess pieces for the Rams to use to limit efficiency for what the 49ers do best through the air. They've been decent, the Rams, in terms of run defense. We know that's the strength of the San Francisco 49ers, but if the Rams offense gets out to a big lead, Kyle Shanahan may not be able to lean on that run as much as he wants to. So I'm going under 250.5, thinking that Jimmy is facing some pressure. And then even when he does have time to get the ball off, the Rams back end, led by Jalen Ramsey, can limit big plays, especially those play yards after the catch that Debo Samuel and George Kittle have been so used to generating. So I think it's going to not quite come in as a 50-plus point game. Maybe, like I said, a 24-20 type of victory for the Rams.
Awesome stuff, Tyler. Everyone check him out as a part of the Daily Wager on ESPN. Listen to him on ESPN Radio here on the weekends. We appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas.
And again, everyone should go on the Manning Cast because it's awesome and we love them and we're company men. But at the same time, Draymond Green is playing tonight and I believe they play the Brooklyn Nets almost immediately after that. I'm just saying it's something to keep an eye on here. That, by the way, was our Monday Night Football preview. It is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Coming up next, we had 2 banner performances from 2 teams inside a chaotic AFC that might be trying to separate themselves. Who amongst the Pats and the Chiefs has the best path forward here, and are we buying what they're selling? Next, here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mita Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, will join us on the Goodyear Hotline in about 10 minutes. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. And Chris, I had an embarrassing moment, actually. Well, not, you know what? It's not embarrassing. It's exactly who I am, and I'm totally proud of it. But last night, during the Sunday night football game, I got a text from Mina Kimes asking about a particular run play that had just happened. And she goes, hey, I didn't quite see that right. Was that, you know, was that a counter or was that a power on that last play? And I had to tell her straight up, I have no idea because I switched over because I realized I was late to the start of the Adele 1 hour special last night.
That's not an embarrassing moment, man, because it didn't feel like it was all that competitive from the Raiders' standpoint. The Chiefs were firmly in control of that game, even though I don't think they played as sharp or executed as well as the final score might indicate. It was clear all along the Raiders weren't going to threaten the Kansas City Chiefs last night. And as a matter of fact, I saw a stat that Pat Mahomes has won 11 straight road division games in the AFC West. 11 straight. That's a big number, and I think that's right behind Peyton Manning and Joe Montana for the longest streak on the road against division opponents. So pretty impressive from Pat Mahomes in terms of being able to get back on track. But listen, ain't no shame in what you did last night because I recorded the Adele special and I watched it right after Sunday Night Football went off with my fiance. So I was right there with you. I had to see it. There's something special about Adele's voice, man. It's so soulful. I mean, her voice is like a warm blanket wrapping around your soul. That's what it feels like when you hear Adele's song. And then watching her perform at that venue, that was dope.
Oh, the Griffith Observatory. It's sunset in Los Angeles here. Chris, I think for a moment she levitated off the ground. I couldn't make direct eye contact with her. I was both terrified and excited here. I don't know how I'm supposed to deal with a resurgence of Taylor Swift's premier breakup album and Adele's divorce album in the same week's time. I'm not built for this, Chris. At the same time, I also am built for this.
Not to mention Silk Sonic dropping some music, too.
God.
I mean, we got all of that going on the last couple of weeks. Like, it's happening for us right now.
So
it's happening.
It has been chaotic for us on the music front here on Canty and Golic Jr., but not nearly as chaotic as what Chris just described in the AFC right now, because we have got teams trying to make moves here in the AFC.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Nailed it. But you mentioned, Chris, the Kansas City Chiefs never really looked like they were in doubt last night. And over the course of this game, I want to remind everybody that what the Chiefs have been going to has definitely been a struggle. They have definitely not looked right. But in the midst of all of that, they are back to being first in the AFC West with that win last night. Patrick Mahomes is still second in the NFL in passing touchdowns. And last night, he became the first player since Jared Goff in 2018 to have four play-action touchdowns in the body of the same game here. A lot of this, I think, is about how the Raiders played them defensively. But, Chris, I want to ask you relative to two teams that we saw, I think, kind of shocked people with performance this weekend. The Chiefs are certainly one of them, and the New England Patriots punching the Cleveland Browns in the mouth. Of those two teams right now, which of those do you think is the better playoff horse to back?
Well, I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs are the better horse to back just by virtue of the division that they play in, because it feels like it's them and everybody else. The Chargers have kind of fallen off here of late. I can't necessarily buy into the Raiders. They've gone through a lot as an organization the last month or so of the season. And then I'm not buying into the Denver Broncos, even though they dominated the Cowboys 2 weeks ago. They go out and they lose to the Jalen Hurts-led Philadelphia Eagles, and that was a dominant performance by Philly. So I think it's Kansas City. I mean, they've won three in a row. It feels like that offense is trying to get it in gear. You saw the throw that Pat Mahomes made at the end of that Green Bay game to seal that victory, and he started out this game with the left-handed throw when he was in the grasp of Quentin Jefferson. Now it ended up being a completion. It just kind of felt like this Chiefs offense is, you know, trending in the right direction in the second half of the game against Green Bay and now throughout the game last night against the Raiders. So I would bet on them. I would back them more so than the New England Patriots. And this is not a slight on Mac Jones or Bill Belichick and what this team is doing, because they've won four in a row, but they've also got some tough competition in that division with the Buffalo Bills. So I would say the Kansas City Chiefs are their safer bet, but it's not because of the team necessarily. It's more so because of the division that they play in.
Chris, I would say it's a different conversation for me if you ask the question of who would you back as the team with like Super Bowl upside. because that would be the Kansas City Chiefs for me. But if you're going to say just straight up to make the playoffs or be the higher seed heading towards the playoffs here, there's part of me that errs on the side of what New England offers, right? Like, it is a little more risk averse when you run the operation the way that they do. So looking at the way that they control both lines of scrimmage, looking at the way that they punch them in the mouth, and have continued to kind of grow Mac Jones along slowly, I feel like that stability as we head into this portion of the season, that would give them the advantage for me on the playoff side of things. The Chiefs, they've got the Super Bowl upside. We've always known that. But as far as consistency over time, that's New England.
Well, yeah, we say consistency over time. But, I mean, if we look at the Pat Mahomes era of things, I mean, has there been more consistency over the past 3 years in the National Football League? I mean, routinely, double-digit win teams, and you're talking about them being in the conference championship game or better. I mean, you've got two Super Bowl appearances in the last couple of years, and they've been in a conference championship game all 3 years. So when it comes to betting on which team is going to make the playoffs to get into the tournament, I feel a lot better about Pat Mahomes just because this group has proven that they're able to do it. Even though it's been erratic, even though it's been up and down, they still have a lot of the pieces in place that are necessary in order to get it done. And Pat Mahomes is one of those players that can be a force multiplier for the Chiefs. He can make up for all the deficiencies that they might have along the offensive line, that they have on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I have more confidence in Pat Mahomes than I do Mac Jones. And ultimately, I think the trajectory of both teams and what I'm forecasting is based on that.
God, Chris, you were supposed to be the one weaning me off this Chiefs team here. You are trying to get me back on the pack right now.
Nah. Well, listen, it's not just about the Chiefs, though, right? It's about the rest of the division.
It feels like
the AFC West is hustling backwards. That's all I'm saying. The Buffalo Bills, we know, are going to be there in the end. The New England Patriots, we know, are going to be there in the end. But if you're asking me between the Chiefs and the Pats, which one do I feel more confident in winning their division? That's an easy answer for me. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Man.
And you know that's the right answer, too.
I do. I was trying to be good on this. I was trying to not go back to them. We've talked about the X thing here in honor of Taylor Swift's re-release of Red. I don't want to go walking back to the Chiefs here knowing what's good for me, but it seems like that's the way it's trending. And boy, oh boy, if I'm not ready to take the plunge yet, let them go out next weekend and play well against the Dallas Cowboys. That's all I'm saying here. We have got a real rubber meets the road moment coming up next Sunday, the 4 o'clock window, Cowboys and Chiefs. That's going to be exciting. But coming up next, was it power or counter when the Kansas City Chiefs were playing a football game that I wasn't watching because Adele was on here? And what does the future look like for Russell Wilson in Seattle? We will ask an NFL expert next after this word from Indeed, because we get it. It's your business, and you want to be involved in all the decisions, especially who to hire. Then you need Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. So you can spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Mina Kimes with us next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we got so much football to react to from the weekend that we had to bring in reinforcements. We head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. You see her on NFL Live Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern. You download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And Mina, was any part of you surprised during Sunday Night Football last night when you text me trying to ask a hardcore football question and got the answer back that I was in fact watching the Adele 1 hour special instead?
I was surprised because you usually have the two TV setup that you screenshot and then send to people who get mad at you when you tweet about The Bachelor. But apparently, you only had one thing on at the time, and that was the sweet sounds of Adele.
Listen, Mina, the heart wants what it wants in that setting. I was, unfortunately, in a spot where I did not have the two TV set up, and so choices had to be made. And that, in large part, could be made because the Chiefs were also kind of making this a non-story pretty quickly in all this. Mina, we've talked about the Chiefs a lot this season and tried to figure out what they are and aren't. Based on what you've seen from the end of last week's game through the four quarters last night, have they found something that's actually helped them right the ship?
I think so. I think on both sides of the ball, you saw some improvements. I mean, look, some of that was the matchup, you know, where it's a reeling Raiders team. A lot of people pointed out the Raiders were playing those single high looks that teams have largely avoided against the Chiefs. But honestly, I really wasn't why the Chiefs had success, which is to say they weren't using the concepts that they used in the past to beat single high coverage, like those deep crossers, for example, with Hill. Mahomes was just taking what was available to him underneath in the way that people have sort of been begging him to do all season. And they were able to average 7 yards after the catch per reception, which is a lot of yards after the catch. Travis Kelce looked, I would say, the best he's looked in weeks. And then on the other side of the ball, Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, has also been making some adjustments like his quarterback. You see the Chiefs blitzing less, playing less man coverage, basically doing more to help out their cornerbacks, and it's paying off. Now, will it work against the Cowboys offense that I think might be the best in the NFL? I don't know, but for this night, it was definitely trending in the right direction.
Mina, it felt like there were two statement wins in the AFC yesterday, the one we're talking about with the Chiefs and the Raiders, but the other one being the Patriots and the Browns. And I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, which one of those wins is going to have more bearing on the AFC playoff picture as a whole?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the Patriots had the most impressive win of the weekend, and also that win helped them gain some ground in the playoff race. I mean, obviously the Chiefs as well, but the AFC West at one point seemed to be sort of like one of the best divisions in football. And I think now we're sort of recalculating where these teams stand. And it seems like the Chiefs are once again, you know, the cream of the crop. Whereas in the AFC East, it's still pretty close between the Pats and the Bills. And the Bills, are still kind of the big dogs. So those two teams haven't played yet. They're going to play in December. I think one of the those games is a Monday night game. And I think for the Patriots to not only pull off this win, but to pull off such a statement victory and be so dominant on both sides of the football tells you a lot about where this team is and their playoff chances.
Kane Engel Jr. talking to Mina Kimes on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's look at the team on the other side of that one. A week after everyone was saying Baker Mayfield and the Browns showed they're going to be all right without Odell Beckham Jr., we get a bit of a stinker there, Mina. What does the actual picture of Baker Mayfield in this Browns season look like right now?
Man, it doesn't look good. I think that had to be the most disappointing of the performances, not just to lose, but to lose in such devastating fashion. And to lose, by the way, where you thought you had a strength, which is on both the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, Mike, even though you did watch Dell instead of watching Sunday Night Football, you and I were texting about the past offensive line a bit the next day, and just how they were absolutely bodying Cleveland. And meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, this Cleveland offensive line is supposed to be one of the best in the NFL, but on third down, it seemed like they were constantly in a spin cycle, and quarterback, didn't help them out either. So I think, not having Nick Chubb certainly hurts, but from Cleveland's standpoint, you cannot be encouraged by anything you saw in that game, because that really did not look like a contender to me.
Mina, I know you're a huge Seahawks fan. You're one of the 12, so I want to be sensitive in asking this next question. But it feels like, based on the trajectory of this team, that this will be Russell Wilson's first losing season in Seattle. And if that were the case, is this his last season in Seattle?
Well, I don't know if it'll be a losing season. I do think they don't look like a playoff team, but I think it's possible that they could be on the outside looking in at, 9-8. Or trying to remember it with the new math.
Yes.
Is complicated. As you guys know. 9-8 it would be, yeah. The schedule does get a little bit easier from here. And I picked them. I figured that they would lose this Green Bay game. I didn't expect the offense to look as bad as they did. And I don't know how much of that you can pin on Wilson perhaps coming back a little bit too quickly from his injury. How much is the Green Bay defense being, I think, a lot better than anyone, myself included, expected. But certainly that offense does not look like they're going to threaten even lesser defenses down the road. And just not a very competitive team. Now, as far as his future in Seattle, that's hard to say as well, because it kind of, he does have more years on his contract, or I think another year after this one. And I guess if things don't improve, you have to wonder, okay, well, what kind of leverage does he actually have with other teams around the NFL? Not to saying that, you know, a team like the Eagles wouldn't bend over backwards for him, but if a team's not willing to give up significant draft capital, I'm not sure Seattle would accommodate them.
Mina, do you believe that he was actually doing 19 hours of rehab on his finger a day?
I couldn't understand if some of that was like while he was sleeping or what, but whatever it was, it clearly wasn't enough for this weekend.
We're all unsure on that front here. What we are sure is if you want more of Mina Kimes, you can download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny and check out NFL Live 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN every Monday through Friday. Mina, always a pleasure. We'll see you on the other side.
Bye, guys.
Mina Kimes here on the Goodyear Hotline. I know I'm supposed to say hello from the other side,
yeah,
but it just didn't work well in that spot.
I got you. I understand it. It feels like Mina's got to get to a place of acceptance, though. I mean, I understand their schedule gets a little bit easier, but it's hard to see the Seattle Seahawks, based on how they're playing now, going 5-3 in their next eight. I'm just saying. It's hard to see that.
Mina is a wonderful, objective NFL analyst until the Seahawks are on the draft clock. Then I'm very, very afraid of her and have good reason for that from the past here. Coming up next, though. Is there one other NFC team that all of a sudden needs to start having a little more fear of what's to come for the rest of this season? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We still got to get back to it at some point. Cam's debut back in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out there with the Panthers. We'll get you guys ready for Monday Night Football as well. Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic, who covers the Rams about as well as any beat reporter in the country. Very excited to talk to her. Does a great job out there. But, Chris, we talk so much about teams that made big steps forward this weekend here, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New England Patriots here. Let's talk about one that probably a little shell-shocked right now, especially if you listen to their head coach. What the hell is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hang up with Taylor Heineke? Like, what in the world is going on that allows that guy to go out there and ball the way he did? I put that in air quotes because really it involves just him being slippery as all hell. Taylor Heineke's out there like a greased pig against this Tampa Bay pass rush. But it worked out, Chris. Are we starting to get into a territory, not where we got to worry about Tampa missing the playoffs here, but where those goals of repeating start to look a little different? Because this team has started to look a little bit different.
Yeah, but I think it has a lot to do with the injuries that they have on the back end and not being able to play defense like they're accustomed to. Like, the Washington football team and Taylor Heineke putting together a 19-play, 10-minute and 26-second drive to ice that game off, you wouldn't have saw that from that defense that was playing for Todd Bowles last year. You wouldn't have saw that for that defense if they were whole on the back end. But I think missing those pieces in that secondary limits some of the things that Todd Bowles likes to do and creates opportunities for opposing offenses in a way that we're just not accustomed to seeing over the course of the last couple of years when Todd Bowles has been their DC. So you give credit where credit is due. Taylor Heineke, Antonio Gibson, and Terry McLaurin making the plays that they needed to make in the critical junctures of that game in order to come out with the dub. But to me, that has a lot more to do with, first of all, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing a little flat, and this is the second game in a row that we've seen that happen, and then Tom Brady being a little bit off and having multiple interceptions in the last couple of games as well. Like, that's something that this team doesn't do when they're at their best. And so when you look at the giveaways that they had on offense, coupled with the fact that the execution on defense hasn't been the same, and a big part of that being the personnel on the back end, I can understand why they can get upset by a 2-win Washington team. But I don't anticipate that that's going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that we're going to see for the remainder of the second half. Like, this team is going to get back to doing what they do best, back to what made them Super Bowl champs from a year ago, and that is having a little more balance on the offensive side of the ball, leaning on Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, and then Tom Brady playing clean football games, not turning the ball over, and getting the ball to his playmakers in positions where they can do good things with the football. So I'm not panicked right now, although this is the second game in a row they've kind of come out flat. I feel like they have enough leadership in that locker room and in that organization to get back on track.
Yeah, speaking of leadership, Bruce Arians kept it pretty 100 with them after the game, talked about his assessment of their football team.
First play of the game, we're shifting and we jump off sides. I mean, they don't even run a play and we jump off sides. That's just the stupidity. It has to go away if we're going to go anywhere. Oh, it has nothing to do with ability. It's all about execution and being a smart football team. We're a very dumb football team.
It's been a while since we got Frank Bruce Arians in the public sphere. We got a bunch of that last year with him publicly criticizing Tom Brady. But, Chris, I just keep looking at this team, and we saw there's still a lot of production. Offensively, we have seen them be high-flying. Tom Brady putting up MVP-caliber numbers midway through the season. But last year, I think the difference between the team we saw down the postseason stretch and the team that we've got now here is last year's team could run the ball when they wanted to, not when they needed to. And right now, I don't know how much we can count on Campa to do either of those at this point here. And I don't really worry about this team, Chris, because again, they're the best team in the NFC South. They're going to win that division. They're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC. But we know a lot of other people glowed up. Like, a lot of other people went out here and made big-time ads in that conference. We've seen the Cardinals take a big step. We know what the Rams did going out to get Matthew Stafford here. The Packers are locked in on that final season. And I just haven't seen them demonstrate that same kick in the you-know-what that was the thing that propelled them through the postseason last year.
No, but at this time last year, we were still wondering about what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be. They hadn't yet positioned themselves to go on that run where they won 8 straight games. It's going to take some time, and even though they have the same cast of characters, again, we're talking about injuries keeping a lot of those guys out of the lineup. On offense, they didn't have Antonio Brown. They didn't have Rob Gronkowski. You got a banged-up Chris Godwin. And then on defense, we've already talked about the missing pieces that they have in the secondary. So as time passes, as we move further into the second half, you're going to get some of those pieces back, and you're going to realize the impact that those guys have on the Tampa Bay Bucs being able to win football games. The thing that I'm most concerned about is the mentality of this team, because the hardest thing to do is to eat when you're full, and a lot of these guys are still kind of basking in the glow of winning a Super Bowl from a year ago, and we know that that has no bearing on what kind of success you're going to have this season. So they got to realize they got to go out there and earn their wins every single week, no matter what the opposing team's record is, because they're still the reigning defending champions. That's how everybody's going to look at them, and so you're going to get every single team's best shot. And Tampa, from a mentality standpoint, hasn't looked like they were prepared for that the last couple of games. So I'm looking for Bruce Arians to get this team back on track, Tom Brady and company, in order to get focused and be the team that we know they're capable of playing to.
Yeah, Chris, and I know you talked about the defense. Like, it's different this year for them because they have a very clearly identifiable flaw. The secondary was a worry, and it only got worse because of injury during the season here. But, man, I still look at that front seven, man. Those dogs can hunt. I saw a 350-pound nose guard in Vita Vea drop into zone coverage and put the cuffs on whoever came into his way right there. Like, Devin White and company are still running wild at that level. I worry a lot less about that defense, at least in that regard going forward, Chris. But you know this, if everyone knows where they can go to get over on you, that makes it very tough come time in the postseason when the game planning gets to a different level in this league.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then not having the balance on the offensive side of the ball, not being able to run, leaves that defense out there a lot longer than you really want them to be. I mean, losing time of possession 2-1 is not something that we can say we're accustomed to seeing from Tom Brady-led offenses, but that was the case on Sunday against Washington. So their offense has to find a way to sustain drives a little better than they have been, and I think their over-reliance on the passing game has been to their detriment. So they're going to have to get back to finding a way to run the football. I have confidence that Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they'll figure out a way to do it. It might not necessarily look like what it's looked like early in the season. They'll find a way, though.
Hopefully they will find a way. We will find a way to figure out the quarterback problems in the Cleveland locker room next on ESPN Radio.